right in front of you between the two books here. I encourage you to follow along as we look at the passage of Scripture tonight in Luke chapter number 17. We're in this series about teaching the next generation and different things we need to teach the next generation. We started off with this idea of training by example, and that we learned and that people learn easier if they're able to watch and catch what someone else is doing. As if we're going to teach the next generation some things, it's important that we live that way first of all and foremost. We talked about modeling our obedience before our children, or modeling our obedience before those that we want to try to mentor. We talked about loving God with all our heart, all our soul, and our mind. If we really want to train by example, we've got to let God make changes in our lives and teach the young people about the changes God's working and making in our lives. And so as we look at this and we understand some different things, and we've looked at a few things so far, we haven't done a whole lot, and we probably won't do a whole lot more, but we talked about teaching a work ethic to the next generation. We talked about preparing them for the day that they may turn parents and the day that they may get married. And tonight, what I'd like to look at is something I think that most of us would agree, especially the generation that was before me, would agree that we need to teach this generation that is coming, and probably still need to teach my generation, how to appreciate things or how to be thankful for things. The Bible speaks a lot about being thankful, and the Bible speaks a lot about being unthankful too. There's some passages in Scripture where it talks about some great sins, and that inside of that is saying being unthankful. Here in this story, and we're just going to use this as a springboard. This is a more of a topical message, and we're going to look at some different things that we need to teach the next generation to appreciate. And I think it'd be important that we teach this to our young people. But how do we teach them? First, we appreciate it ourselves. Here, let's look here in Luke chapter number 17. We see here in this story, it's familiar probably to many of us, about the 10 lepers. Luke chapter number 17, verse number 11. And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." So these men, these 10 lepers, they were without hope. This was a disease that would eat away at the body. They were outcasts of the society. They had no hope except for Jesus Christ. And here, at this moment in time, they see the need of Jesus Christ. They value Jesus Christ. They value what Jesus Christ can do. They value how Jesus Christ can help them. They value the response. They value getting his attention. We use that word value because that's what appreciate means, when you value something. It's even a step farther than just being thankful. You actually value the things that you have. And here, these men value the opportunity they have to catch the ear of Jesus Christ. Verse 14, and when he saw them, he said unto them, "Go show yourselves unto the priests." And it came to pass, as they went, they were cleansed. So they cry out to Jesus. They cry out to have mercy. Jesus shows mercy upon them and says, "Look, go your way." And as they went, they were cleansed. And it says in verse 15, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, "Were there not 10 cleansed?" And here's the important question, but where are the 9? There should have been 10 that came back and worshiped and gave thanks. There should have been 10 that valued what Jesus Christ had done for them. But there was only one that valued. The difference here is there were some that valued him when they had a need. But when they got what they wanted, when they no longer needed Jesus Christ in their mind, there was no longer any value there. It's sort of like when the young person or tries to butter up the parent, tries to maybe get them their favorite drink or helps clean up their room or clean up the dishes, and they're really nice to them and say kind things. You know, you see that on the old TV shows. They bring the dad the slippers, and they bring the dad the evening newspapers. They bring the dad this and that. And the dad's like, "Okay, what's going on? What is it that you want? You don't value me. You don't treat me like this until you want something." And here's the important thing we need to understand is we need to learn how to value or appreciate what Jesus Christ did and what Jesus Christ does for us.
And here, like most people, the lepers are like this. The only time we take notice, the only time we are desperate to get a hold of Jesus Christ, the only time that we really seek after him and make sure that we're clean and make sure we're doing everything we're supposed to do is when we want something. And that is the thing that we need to teach our kids, that we need to value him all the time. We need to appreciate him all the time. We just don't show up to church when there's a trouble. We just don't start calling out to God and praying to God when there's a need and a problem. This is something that we need to do all along. And here in the story, it says in verse number 18, "There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger." They're saying the one that shouldn't have was willing to. "And he said unto them, Arise, go thy way, thy faith had made thee whole." And in that story, there's a lot of different messages and a lot of different illustrations and applications we can pull out of it. We're not going to spend a lot of time there because that's not the main text of the message. It's just a starting point. But I do want you to understand, you see in verse number 19, the one that got the real help was the one that appreciated, the one that valued him, the one that came back and glorified God. He was made whole. And I think there's the idea here that he not only was healed physically, but also spiritually. And I tell you, when you learn to appreciate and value the things of God, and appreciate and value the things that you should be valuing, appreciating, then also you will get the greater blessing. Let's go ahead and look to the Lord in word of prayer and ask the Lord to help us as we talk about teaching the next generation to appreciate. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for today. Thank you for the opportunity to be able to come to your house. Lord, I do pray that you help us tonight. Lord, I pray as we look at these few different things and we spend a few minutes here, Lord, I pray you help to teach us and show us the importance of valuing the important things that you brought into our life. Not taking things for granted, but instead appreciating them. Lord, speak to people's hearts tonight. Help us to look at what you did for us and value that. Lord, help us to see our country and the country you gave us and appreciate and value that. Lord, help us to see our Bible. And Lord, help us to appreciate and value that also. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know about you, but as you get older and you start buying things, you start appreciating things a little bit more. I don't know about you, but when you first start having, when you're a kid and you spend money's, you get a little bit of money, and that's what you want to do most times is you want to spend it. It's like burning a hole in your pocket. My youngest son's like that. I told my youngest son I was going to talk about him a little bit tonight. He's not the type that likes to save. He's always very generous with his money. He does not know how to save. My oldest son, he's a little bit different. He's more of a tightwad, and he scrimps and saves, but he's also willing to pay for what you consider quality. I see this in our sons and the tennis shoes. You say tennis shoes, yes. You know, as they start playing basketball, some of the guys here, they play basketball, and you know, when I buy them shoes, you know how they take care of them? They don't take care of them very valued. They you know, for the longest time, we had to teach them, you're supposed to untie your shoe. Why? It's so much easier just to kick them off. You're supposed to not play basketball in dress shoes. But why? You know, they didn't take good care of their, but you know, this past year, they had a little bit of money, and they went out and they bought themselves basketball shoes, you know, these high tops. And what I tell them, look, if you want to buy yourself some of these fancy shoes, and they didn't spend a ton of money on those shoes like some people do, but they went and got years before models from the outlet stores of some of the player shoes, and they got a good deal on them. And what I do, I says, look, the shoe costs 10, 15 bucks at Walmart. I'll give you the $15 it costs at Walmart. You got to pay for the rest of it. I ain't going to pay for you to have some fancy shoe. You can, you know what? And they both got these shoes this year. You know what they did with these shoes? They wouldn't even wear them outside. They were for only basketball. I mean, they took care of them. They would pick them up, and they would rather walk outside in their socks than walk outside in their shoes, with getting the chance that there might get a little pebble inside one of the treads so they could not jump as high. They can't really jump that high anyway, much less. I'm joking, but they're both, I'm sure you have seen it, they're 10 times better than at basketball at their age than I ever was. I didn't even play basketball until I was about 8th or 9th grade, and they only let me play 1 year. When I got to be a junior in high school is when I actually started playing for the teams and things like that. But, I mean, they valued these shoes. Now, after basketball season was over, they still wanted to value them. They said, I said, boys, basketball season's over. Your feet, the way they grow, they're not going to be good anymore. You need to wear them out, and you need to go ahead and use them now. And they do use them now, but it was something they bought and something they considered precious. I don't know about you, but remember when you were a kid, maybe when you drove your dad's car and you didn't have to put the gas in the car? You didn't really appreciate it. But when you got the car, I don't know about you, when I was a kid, you had to buy your own car. You had to pay for your own car insurance. And I know every time you had to put gas in the car, you know what? You began to appreciate that gas anymore. Sooner or later, it's like, okay, Dad, can I borrow your car? Oh, don't you like your car? Yes, but you pay for your gas. I mean, you appreciate it. You value the money that you have. And I tell you that there are things in this world we really need to teach our next generation. And I think it's even missed the generation about things that we have to learn how to appreciate things and value things. The one thing I want you to consider is that we need to learn how to value is what Jesus Christ did for us. You think about in this story here, Jesus Christ helped these men. When they had a need, they came seeking. When they had a desperate situation, they came looking for Jesus Christ's help. They saw their need. They knew they had no hope. And guess what? That's when they reached out to Jesus Christ. And you know what? In our life, our story is the same. When Jesus Christ came to us and showed us that we had a need, we cried out to him if we're saved here tonight. And we remembered what he did for us, but do we really truly value it? Do we really truly appreciate it? This morning when we are talking about the book of Ephesians and we're looking in chapter 2 and looking in verse number 1, and verse number 2 and verse number 3, seeing that we were lost and dead in our sins, seeing that we were captive by Satan's power, seeing that we were living under condemnation, we were without hope. Man, we were in a desperate, horrible spot, but God stepped in and God intervened for us and God paid a great, great price by sending his son, and his son dying on the cross for us paid a huge price for us. But do we really truly value it? Do we appreciate it? Well, I know we're thankful for it, but do we live our lives remembering it and considering it, making it of a value to us? If we value something, guess what? We're going to tell others about it. If we value something and hold something close and hold something dear, it's something that we are going to keep it lifted up and exalted in our mind, what Jesus Christ did for us. I question to this, do we really value what Jesus Christ did? The nation of Israel. Remember, nation of Israel, we learned about this in Sunday school class. In Genesis, there is no nation of Israel until God calls out Abraham. God calls out Abraham, and what God does, he says, I'm going to make you a nation. And as he makes him a nation, this nation grows and grows and grows, and it's in Egypt. And in Egypt, it's there, and God's brought that nation. He's made this nation for a purpose and for a reason. It's to bring the Messiah through, to answer the call, the Redeemer. And here, he gives him a testimony in Exodus. All the world knew who Israel was when God did those 10 plagues on Egypt, and he brought them out through the Red Sea. They get to Jericho, and the people are trembling. They're fearful. Why? Because they heard what God had done for them. God did everything. He made them a nation. He brought them all the way here. And what do? When they get to the Promised Land, they turn around and they forget what God's done. And as they forget what God's done, you know what they stop doing? They stop appreciating the fact that God made them. In Deuteronomy chapter 32, verses 6 and 7, it says, Do ye thus requite the Lord, O foolish people and unwise? Is not he thy father that hath brought thee? Hath he not made thee and established thee? He's saying, look, can't you understand? God made you. What right do you have to turn your back on him? He did everything for you. There wouldn't even be a nation of Israel if it was not for God. I think we need to remember that. There would not be a church if it was not for what Jesus Christ did. We would not be sitting here. We would not have the hope that we have. We would not have the peace that we have. We would not have a home in heaven that we have. And we need to learn how to value that. You know what Deuteronomy says? What Moses is in his song is teaching the nation of Israel. Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father, and he will show thee, thy elders, and they will tell thee. Now here's the point. If you really truly want to learn to appreciate what Jesus Christ has done for you, and we need to teach this next generation, you need to consider it. You need to remind them of it. You need to be something that you talk about. It needs to be something that's on your heart and your mind, always appreciative of it. When you pray, when you speak, when you talk, when you mentor, when you teach the next generation, always be thankful for what Jesus Christ did. Hold it in a place of value. This, I always remind you, this is a little joke when we talk about appreciating things. There was a story of a visiting farmer stopped at a city restaurant to eat lunch. When he was served his food, he bowed his head and gave thanks to the Lord. There were some teenagers sitting nearby at the table, noticed the farmer's prayer and shouted, "Hey, Pops, back where you come from, does everybody pray before they eat?" And you know, the kids were being mean and disrespectful. Their laughter was silenced. And when the farmer, unmoved, answered them, he says, "No, the hogs don't. The hogs don't pray. They're not thankful. They're not considerate of where the food came from and that God gave them from." And I know none of us like to be called hogs, but that's the type of thing that we do when we don't appreciate what God's done for us. We act just like them. We're ungrateful sometimes. And I want to encourage you, we need to pass this along to the next generation, is that we need to learn to value what Jesus Christ done for us. Teach them. Sing of it. Make this something that is important to them. And make it important to you. Next thing we want them to value. Not only is what Jesus Christ did, but we need them to teach them to appreciate our country. You know, the 4th of July was just last week. And we're not going to stay here long because I know that I want to get to the Bible part because I want to talk about different reasons why we should appreciate the Bible. But our country is something that we take for granted sometimes. The spiritual freedoms that we have that are being taken away, you know, the Judeo-Christian values that is being used and things like that, that we were built upon, they're slowly but surely. People can't even talk about God anymore in the public scene without getting in trouble. And then people, I was reading an article that they wrote by CLA that, remember when those tornadoes that came through and had destroyed some places, I think it was over in Kansas, talking about how the teacher publicly apologized for praying with their students because she did something wrong because she prayed with her students while tornadoes were destroying their school because somebody was offended. There's something wrong with what's going on in our country. Why is that? It's because we haven't held or valued our country like we could or should. Now, you think about it. I was looking and doing some research. In the Revolutionary War, there was over 25,000 people who gave their lives for our freedom. In World War I, there was over 115,000 Americans that gave their lives. In World War II, over 400,000 Americans. These men and women shed their blood so we can have freedom. And you know what sometimes people use that freedom to do? Spit on flags, burn flags, kill babies, to mock the values we were taught, the values that our country is based on. If they're not going to learn it in their history lessons anymore. They're rewriting many of the textbooks in the public schools to where these values are no longer there. You know, the fact that God brought this nation to be a blessing to the Christians so they could have a place to worship is not being taught. And it will not be taught unless we learn to hold this value dear to us. Now, I know that there's many people that are proud to be Americans today. There's many in this room that has given time and effort, has fought in ministries, fought in the, and they served in some of these wars that we even mentioned. They fought and served their country for years. And the generation that was before me, especially one that was before them, is proud of being American. That's not the case in many times today. That's not being taught to our young people today. And if we don't teach them, who will? This is something we need to pass along. Now, I can't give you time after time and tell you how we're going to do that and explain all that to you, but it's just the idea and the seed thought that you take this and teach this to your children. Teach these to your classes. Teach these to people that you want to mentor and teach these to people that you want to help. Teach these to your grandchildren and your nieces and your nephews. 4th of July is not just about fireworks. It's about our nation's birthday. But more importantly, it's about what God did in bringing this country and how it came about. What a wonderful, tremendous story. How many of us really know the true story? You think about what the pilgrims did and what they went through and how they sought God. And you think about why Christopher Columbus came and he wanted to evangelize. And there is a wonderful history. But the problem is we just do not many times honor it and hold it dear to ourselves. I know that we've been to that tomb of the unknown soldier, and the tomb of the unknown soldier says the following words are inscribed on the tomb of the unknown soldier: "Here rests in honored glory an American soldier known but to God." You think about it. Men after men and even women gave their lives for the freedom we have here. Do you value that freedom? Do you really truly value that freedom? Do you really appreciate what God has done? And that's something we need to learn how to teach this to the next generation. Things bought at a garage sale usually do not make the evening news. But back in April this past year, it talked about a bowl that was bought at a garage sale that they paid just $3 for. And at this garage sale, they put this bowl up on their shelf. And then someone came over and said that bowl was valuable. It was from the Northern Song Dynasty. That it was more than 1,000 years old. Until someone told them what they really had. The family had stuck the bowl in the mantle over the fireplace. And when they placed the bowl in an auction house, they thought it was going to sell for $200,000. But instead, it sold for $2 million. They spent $3 at a garage sale. You know why? You scratch your head. Why in the world would someone sell that for just $3? They didn't appreciate what they had. And I think sometimes, why in the world would someone let what's going on in our country happen and be torn apart the way it's being torn apart? It's because we don't appreciate what we have. And we live in the greatest country in the world, and we need to learn to appreciate it. Last but not least, and this is one I'd like to spend a few minutes on, this is one that I really wanted to try to grab a hold of, because if we learn how to appreciate this last thing, I think the other things will fall in line. This last thing is our Bible. This is the thing that we need to learn how to appreciate. This is the thing that can change our lives. This is the thing that shows us salvation. This is the thing that can teach us how to appreciate things. This is what teaches us about being grateful, teaches us about being thankful, teaches us that there are things that are precious in this world. It teaches us the truths of the Bible. And I know a few years ago, I don't know how many years ago it's been now, I preached a message about different reasons why I love the Bible. And here's some different things I think that we can look at and understand why we should appreciate the Bible. First thing, one of the reasons why we should appreciate the Bible, why we should love the Bible, is because of who wrote it, because God wrote it. Yeah. I love the Bible, and I appreciate the Bible because God wrote it. You think about this. You know, sometimes you get letters in the mail. You know, when you're going through your mail, you know what some of it is? It's junk mail. I bet you there in your house there are certain things you don't even open up. If I get an advertisement from Alliance Nissan or Biggs whatever that is, or some of the big car dealerships, you know what? I don't even open them up anymore. You feel in there, it's got a key. If you take that key, you turn it, you can win a brand new car. You know, it's all junk mail. You know what I do it? I throw it away. But you know, if I look at it and I got a letter from my mom or dad, or a letter from someone I was close with, I would value that. I would take that. I would open it. I would read it. Lots of times when there's a letter I want to read, I don't even wait till I go to the house. I open up the mailbox and I open it up and I read it because it's something I value. And one of the reasons why we should look at that Bible you have holding your hand and put it in high esteem and put it in a valuable place and appreciate it is because of who wrote it. I still have letters that my wife wrote me in college. And you want to know why? It's because I value them. And that way I can use them as blackmail. You know, in college, you know, when you're dating, you're courting, I will never do this. I will always do this. So now I can go back and say, here, honey, I got proof. It's right there. She might have thrown away by now. I don't know. But here it is. It's something that, because who wrote it? My wife wrote it. It was something special to me. Now, I don't still have the letters that the other girls that maybe I dated before my wife, because my wife would kill me, first of all, but also because they're not as valuable to me. They don't mean as much to me. Think about what the Bible says. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. It is under the inspiration of God. You know what means God moved upon those writers? 2 Corinthians 1:21, for the prophecy came not in old time, but by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. You know, God wrote this book. You can turn around and say, hey, he denied it was these men. It says that they were moved by the Holy Spirit of God. God inspired this book. One of the reasons why we should appreciate it, one of the reasons why we should hold it dear to us and value it, is because of who wrote it. And I tell you, we need to pass this on to the next generation, because many times it's told the Bible's too hard. I can't understand it. And I know adults even say that. Here's something I want to encourage you with when you appreciate your Bible. If you will take the time to live your Bible, it will become important to you. If you will take the time to live your Bible, it will become important to you. And I'm not talking about going and learning about the tabernacles if you're a new Christian, learning about all those Levitical laws. I'm talking about getting something out of the Bible and living it. And as you see God bless and work in your life, doing the things you know you're supposed to do, it's going to become valuable to you. It's going to become important. If you use this book, amen, if you use this book as a guidebook of how to live your life, guess what? You're going to think it's valuable and important. Amen. But if you're not going to listen to what this book says, if you're not going to try to figure out what this book is telling us, and if you find out what it says and you ignore it, guess what it's going to become? It is going to become boring. It is not going to make a difference. You are not going to appreciate it. You are not going to care what it says, because no matter what it says, I'm not going to listen to it anyway. And that's why we don't appreciate it the way we should. We don't live the book anymore. But if we were desperately looking for the answers to life's problems, and whatever we found is what we're going to live, boy, we would really appreciate it some more. I don't know about you, most of us don't really like to read the directions when we're making something and building something. Yeah. You know, that's the stereotyping of men. You know, I don't need those, set it down. And then when you mess it all up, then you have to go find the directions. The directions are really important when you can't figure out how to do it, isn't it? And they're valuable then. Where do they go? And then usually the wife's sitting over there. They're right here. And they become valuable. That's it with the book. It is there for you. It's written. God inspired it. God wrote it to where you can understand it. When it becomes valuable to you is when you live it. So if it's been boring to you lately, or if you can't figure it out, try to find one line in there that you're going to live. And I tell you, if you take one line a day and you live what that line says, no matter what that line is, guess what? It's going to change your life. But you got to live the book in order for it to make a difference for you. Not only does I love the Bible because God wrote it, next thing is because it will last forever. Because it will last forever. Amen. Isaiah 40 verse 8 says, "The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away." Mr. Marcus tried to teach me something. You know me, I'm always looking for a great deal, always looking for good buys and this and that. Mr. Mark tried to teach me when it comes to things, you should buy quality because quality lasts. And he talks about this and that when we talk about tools or things like that. He says, you need to buy quality things because quality things are going to last. One of the reasons why I love the Bible, one of the reasons why I appreciate the Bible is because it's going to last. It's going to hold up. It's sort of like you go out there and you see cars out there, and there are certain cars that just last longer than other cars, and you appreciate those cars a little bit better. You hold those cars in a little bit more value than a car that breaks down on you all the time. You know you're only going to get another couple thousand miles on it. You're not going to really care how you treat that car. But if you're looking to keep the car long term, what are you going to do? Hey, don't eat in my car. Don't drink in my car. I'm going to make sure that car gets changed. Oil gets changed all the time. I'm going to make sure it's taken care of because I value it, because it's going to last a while. You know what? This book, it's going to last forever. Another reason why I love the Bible is because it's how I got saved. Another reason why I love the Bible is because it's how I got saved. You think about it. It's in this book that taught me how to get saved. It's in this book that showed me how to get off the pathway to hell and get on the pathway to heaven. You know, if there is no other reason to be excited and to cherish and to value that book, it's because it's only through that book a person can get saved. I believe in some way, some form, there needs to be the gospel or the scriptures found in some type of presentation of the gospel. Now, does it have to be the exact wording? Does it have to be the exact King James language? Does it have to be? I'm not saying all that, even though the King James is important, and I think it's important that we stand and hold to that. But I'm saying that when you're talking to somebody and you can get a person saved, how can you get them saved? It's by using scripture. And the Bible says, "But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you." It's the Bible that teaches you how to get saved. He shows you that you're a sinner. It shows you that Jesus Christ died for your sins. And it shows you how you can put your faith and trust in Him. This is the reason why we should appreciate this Bible. We forget it. We don't consider it. We're like the nation of Israel. When everything's going fine, when everything's going good, I don't need it. I don't need God. And then we turn our backs to it. And when everything's going good and everything's going fine, and we turn our backs to the word of God. It's like those leopards. Oh, yes, God, I need you. I need you. Help me. And God helps us. And it's like, oh, I don't need it anymore. We don't appreciate it. But we need to appreciate it because it's how we got saved. We need to appreciate the Bible because it gives me hope. It gives you hope. You think about it. It gives us hope. The Bible says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. We have hope in this. In this book, we see the hope that Jesus Christ gives. Not only does it give us hope, another reason why we should appreciate the Bible is because it gives us light. It gives us light. It shows us what we're supposed to do. You ever wonder what the next move is? The Bible says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The Bible says, the entrance of thy words giveth light and giveth understanding unto the simple. You know who that means? It means the people that aren't the smartest. It gives them understanding. You say, I can't even understand the Bible. The Bible says here, speaking of itself, it gives light and gives understanding. Another reason why I love the Bible is because it will never lie or disappoint me. It will never lie or disappoint me. You never know what you can trust nowadays. You know, some of those guarantees people make, some of those warranties that people say. I remember when we put this carpet in here. It has that little seam that is going to grow out of it in the middle someday. And you know what? When it has a stain protection lots of times on your carpet. But when they put the carpet down and there was a stain on it somewhere or something like that, I went to the carpet people and says, there's something I can't get up. And this was a couple years after they laid it. And they said, well, have you had it professionally cleaned every single year? I said, no. And they says, well, almost on all carpets, when it says stain resistant, you had to have it professionally cleaned every year for the warranty to hold up to it. Because if you don't do that, the warranty is null and void. I said, well, that's nice for you to tell me that now. Why didn't you tell me that when I bought it? And they says, well, we thought everybody knew that. I said, no. And it's these warranties that are out there. Lots of times, you don't know what to trust. Sometimes it seems like the people are lying to you or trying to hook you in with something. And we know the business practices of the day do things like that. And you know what? The Bible doesn't do that. I love the Bible because when you read it, it doesn't tell you a lie. It doesn't deceive you. It doesn't disappoint you. Now, there might be times when you're not happy about what it says. You wish it would say something different. You wish it would change. There's certain parts in there that I would say when it tells you to love your enemies, I would say, okay, God, that's not really the part I want to read. When it tells me to, forgive, you know, sometimes I just don't want to forgive, but you know what? It always tells me the truth. I think it's important. The Bible says in 1 Kings 8:56, blessed be the Lord and that have given rest unto his people according to all that he promised. There hath not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses, his servant. You know, God has not ever broken a promise. He never will. He does not lie. And so we got to appreciate that. You can value your Bible. Another reason why you love and value your Bible, there's only a few more, is because it teaches me how not to sin. Teaches me how not to sin. You know what? I would probably pay somebody. Sometimes when I struggle with something, if someone could give me a quick fix, an easy way out, just show me and teach me how to, you'd probably want to pay somebody a lot of money to just get a quick fix sometimes. Just to say, if I can just figure out how to get over this last obstacle, if I can just figure out how to forgive, if I can just figure out how not to be bitter, if I could just figure out how to stop coveting, or if I could get these wrong thoughts out of my mind, if I could just get over this. But the Bible teaches us. It says, thy word have I hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. The Bible teaches us that we can reckon ourselves dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches us how not to sin. If you're looking for that easy fix, there isn't one. It's fighting the flesh daily, but the word of God says it can give you help with that. We need to pass that on to that next generation. You do not have to sin. You can love and appreciate and value your Bible because it teaches you how to live right. It teaches you how not to sin. Get a principle every day out of the Bible and live that principle. It will change your life. Another reason why I love the Bible is because it gives me a reason to live. It gives me a reason to live. So you need a reason to live, Pastor? No, but it is so much easier to get up each day knowing I have something to do. God has called us. It says, who have saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. If you're looking for what you should do today, it's found in the book. If you're looking at what you should do tomorrow, it's found in the Bible. You can value that. You can appreciate that. You can live your life according to that. It gives you a reason to live. It's to minister. It's to live for Christ. It's to do things he's called you to do. Last but not least, you can love your Bible because it has the power to change lives. It has the power to change lives. I don't know about you, but when we're talking about making a difference, our theme for this year, that's the idea, isn't it? Don't we want to help have the power to change lives? Don't we want to make an impact and make a difference in somebody else's life? Well, you know that some people are headed in the wrong way, and sometimes you just want to grab them and take them and shake them and say, hey, stop, you're headed the wrong way. You need to change something in your life. And you know what? The Bible is the thing that has the power to change that. The Bible is the only thing. That and the idea of God and the spiritual things that can change lives. That's why we need to be loving the Bible and appreciating the Bible and holding the Bible of value and giving the Bible out and teaching the Bible. Don't give man's philosophies. Don't get your feelings. Give the Bible. And the Bible is called many different things. It's talked about the hammer. It's talked about it as a fire. It's talked about many different things, how it can take and change a person's life. It's a living book, and it can pierce our thoughts, and it can change us. I don't know about you, but the Bible is what has changed me. The Bible is what caused me to be saved, but the Bible is what teaches me, whether through preaching or reading it or through the Holy Spirit speaking to our heart and memorization and meditation. It's what changes me. He says, hey, you need to work on this. Hey, you need to change this over here. Hey, you should stop doing that. You should start doing more of this. And you know what? You should love your Bible for that. You should appreciate it. You should not take your Bible home and set it aside. Next time you pick it up is for Wednesday night church and for Sunday church. And I know some people leave their Bibles in their seats because, oh no, if we would have to lose our seat at Faith Baptist Church. But some people leave. I'm sure they got Bibles at their houses that they read. I'm not talking about the Bible itself. But I'm talking about you need to invest in it. You need to hold it in a high value. You know, the Bible, God thinks we should hold in such high value. You know what he tells us to do? He tells us to meditate on it. He tells us to memorize it. He tells us to think on it day and night. Do you really value the Bible that way? Job said it was more important to him than food. It's necessary food. And I want to encourage you tonight. Something we really need to pass on to the next generation is learn how to appreciate things. Doesn't it drive you crazy when people don't appreciate things? When you do things for them, doesn't it drive you crazy when people don't say thank you? I'm not trying to pick on, it's easy to pick on teenagers because you work with them, it's easier to pick on kids. But I think that all the kids that went to junior camp should have went to Mr. Mark and Mr. Jim and Miss Charlene and Miss Julia and all said, thank you for taking me to camp. You know, because they took a week out of their life to go there. You know, I think that that's showing you appreciate them and what they've done. You value what they did. I think same thing with teen camp for those that went. I think when someone does something to you, you teach your kids. Hey, what do you say? No, what do you say? You say thank you. Don't, when a parent does that, it makes them say thank you to you. Don't say, oh, it's okay, don't worry about it. They're teaching them to appreciate what's been given to them. And it is the truth. We should teach that next generation. And I'm not saying keep it as a club over the head. Look what I do for you. Look what I do for you. Look what I do for you. And then you do this to me. But you need to teach them to appreciate the things that they've been given. Because today they do have more than they ever had. Ever than we ever had. But they don't earn a lot of it. They need to be shown and taught to appreciate, value. And if we can't value what Jesus Christ did for us, what is there that is worth valuing? If we can't value the country that God's given us, then what is there worth valuing? If we can't value the book that God has written for us and inspired and preserved through generations, then I don't know what is worth valuing. Tonight, do you appreciate your Bible? Do you love your Bible? Do you hold it in high esteem? Do you value it? Do you value what Jesus Christ has done? And do you value the country we live in? I know a lot of different things. And believe me, there's a lot of things we like to teach next generation. I mean, we could talk all year about the different characteristics that we think should be taught to this next generation and how we could teach it. But tonight, let's think about, do we appreciate these things? Remember, we teach by example. We train by example. And then we model our obedience and our appreciation in front of those that we're trying to train. Let's go ahead and look to the Lord in word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord.